The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. I'm excited to start this series. It's 8 weeks, and we're going to talk about freedom. A vacation from... I'm kicking it off today. We're starting on worry. So the title of today's message is, what? Me worry? Now, if you're old enough, like me, you probably remember where that phrase comes from. We'll talk about it in a minute, but let's open up with a word of prayer and ask God to bless us. Father, thanks for your love, the way you work in our hearts, God. Bless us now. I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear what you have to say. Father, that our ears would be quick to listen, that our hearts would take in everything it said. And Father, let my words come from you this morning. Thanks, God. Amen. So let's open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screens. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So the title for today's message is taken from a keystone of my growing up, a major part of my growing up. All of my friends and I read Mad Magazine, and which really explains a lot about me if you get to know me very well. Okay, so Mad Magazine's mascot was Alfred E. Newman, and his favorite saying was, what, me worry? And you know, when you're a 12 or 13-year-old kid, that is just hilarious. With me worry? I got nothing to worry about. I'm 12. My biggest worry is whether I'm going to get hit by a baseball tomorrow in the game. And I did. No. In the head, which again, explains a lot. As I got older, though, I found out I do have reasons to worry. Now, we'll talk about that. See, we're talking about vacations. I love vacations. I basically lived on vacation in my RV for the last few years. Okay, but when I was working and had kids at home, I loved the idea of vacation. You find out the vacation's going to be a hassle. You spend 6 months planning a week of relaxation. Then you spend 3 days making reservations, packing enough clothes for every weather condition known to man, checking the hotel reviews, checking the weather forecast, checking the traffic report, checking the flight status, checking your bank account, and then checking all those things again because you forgot what you found out the first time. Then you finally get to the beach, and you spend half the day worrying about whether somebody back home remembers to feed the dog. You know, Some people are so committed to worry that they take it on vacation with them. You could put a worried person on a cruise ship in the middle of crystal clear water, unlimited food, beautiful weather, and they'll still find something to worry about. What if the ship sinks? What if I gain weight? What if I get sunburned? What if I accidentally spend all my money at the gift shop? Now, don't raise your hand or point at anybody, but do you know or do you happen to be this person? Okay. Some folks find worry in heaven. What if God made a mistake letting me in and he corrects it and sends me to hell? The truth is, worry doesn't care where you are because it follows you. Worry isn't a location problem. It's a heart problem. And Jesus knew that. In Matthew 6, portion we just read, Jesus addresses one of the most common struggles in human history, and it's worry. We've all spent sleepless nights worrying about something. He talked about worry. He didn't talk about Roman worry or Jewish worry or American worry. Human worry. And he gives us an invitation. Take a vacation from it. Not because life is easy. Not because problems disappear, but because God is faithful. So we're going to dig into what Jesus said in this passage. First of all, we need to know that worry accomplishes nothing. I'm going to say that again for you in the cheap seats. Worry accomplishes nothing. Matthew 6:27, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus asks a really simple question. Has all your worrying ever done anything good for you? Has it ever accomplished anything? Has it ever paid a bill? Has it ever cured a disease? Has it ever fixed a marriage? Has worry ever solved a problem? No. Worry promises solutions but delivers stress. We worry because we think if we worry enough, we'll figure something out. Here's the thing. If you could have figured it out, you would have before you started worrying. Somebody once said, worrying is paying interest on a debt you may never owe. You might want to take a picture of that screen. It's exactly right. Most of what we worry about never happens. But we suffer like it already has. There's a man who said, I've had a lot of troubles in my life. Most of them never happened. What? I had a lot of troubles in my life, and most of them never happened. I want you to think of all the turmoil in the world right now. Okay? Think of all the things that are going on, all the government things and the history, all the things. And I want you to understand that 25 years from now, if Jesus tarries, kids will be bored about it when they read about it in school. We spend sleepless nights fighting imaginary battles. And meanwhile, God is saying, why are you carrying tomorrow when it only gave you enough strength for today? Jesus isn't saying that life doesn't have problems. He's saying that worry isn't the solution. And that's a huge difference. Here, look at this. Faith faces problems. Worry magnifies them. Faith says, God can handle this. No, faith says, God can handle this, not I can handle this. Worry says, it's all up to me. See the difference? One is a focus on God. You know, you remember him, right? The creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, the guy that you know, put all this together and keeps it running. If it's all up to me, it's up to the guy who got a D in geometry in high school. I think God will do it. I think God has the upper hand here. Okay, old folks like me, stick with me for a minute. Remember life before GPS? Oh, man. driving down the road, and whoever's driving is relying on the co-pilot who has this map that's almost the size of the state you're in. They pull it out of the glove box, because that's what the glove box was for. It was for maps, evidently. Pull it out of the, and you unfold it, and then you take half an hour trying to figure out where you are. Now you're really lost. Then you find it, and you better hope they have a good sense of direction, because I was in a car one time. I was not driving or navigating. But I was in a car that went the opposite direction because the person had the map upside down. That's how you know you're dealing with the upper crust of society. They're all in the map. Nobody can see where they're going because the map has covered the whole front of the car. Everybody's arguing. And somehow nobody knew where they were. Even though they had a map, that's what worry does. Worry blocks your view of where God is taking you. You become so focused on every possible wrong turn that you can't enjoy the journey. Hey, life is a journey. And if you put your faith in God and allow Him to guide you, life is a great journey. Next, you need to know that God knows what you need. Look at verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Hello? But your Heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. To me, one of the most comforting phrases in all of Scripture is this one. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. He knows. Before you pray, before you cry, before you lose sleep, before you understand the problem, God already knows. As parents, grandparents, we understand this. Little kid wakes up scared in the middle of the night. There's a monster in my closet. Okay. I know there's no monster in the closet because I checked earlier. The kid thinks the world is falling apart, but I know it's not. It's just a bad dream. And if there is a monster in the closet, I'm going to shoot it and kill it. See, the kid doesn't have all the information. He doesn't know what dad knows. Parents do. And eventually the child can rest easy because the parent is present. Look, in this scripture, Jesus is reminding us that God is not some far-off guy. We always act like God is some far-off deity. I'm messing everything up. Like He's some far-off deity. Hey, He's as close as a whisper. You don't have to convince God to care. Oh, there we go. I'm ahead of myself. He's not a father looking for mistakes. I used to have this vision of God that He was, you know, this big blue meanie up in heaven, sitting on a great throne with a bucket full of lightning bolts next to Him, just watching me. Just make one wrong move, Godsey, and I will obliterate you. There are people that feel that way about God. Can you imagine? He's not a judge looking for mistake. He's not a boss checking for performance. You ever have a boss that follows you around all the time? Still got a little crick in my neck from one of my lieutenants. I won't say his name, though. He was just always walking around, and you could feel him, like, judging you. Jerry, you sure that's the right way to do it? Yeah, that's what they taught us in school, and since you've never been to that school, I'm not sure how you would know. That's what I say inside. It never went out. He's our Father, and fathers care about their children. You don't have to convince God to care. He already does. You don't have to wake Him up. He never sleeps. You don't have to remind him where you are. He knows your address and he knows your burden. None of what's going on right now is a surprise to God. I said in one of the Bible studies on Wednesday mornings, I said, it's not like God woke up and said, "Ooh, man, I didn't see that coming." He never does that. He knows everything. He exists beyond our future and way beyond our past. Little girl's flying with her father during this severe turbulence. Her dad's the pilot. Plane starts shaking. Now, I'm not a big fan of flying, number one. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." And I just misspell it to L-O-W. Because I don't like being in a plane. Plane shaking. People are nervous. Some people are praying. In fact, I mentioned in the Bible study the other day that I went through turbulence coming into Phoenix Airport. And I was praying to Jesus. I was praying to Buddha. I was praying to the great God of the Oreo cookies. I was praying to anybody I could get help with at that point. I wasn't. Some people have a death grip on their armrests. The little girl sat calmly coloring a picture. What? After the flight, someone asked, "Weren't you afraid?" She smiled and said, "No. My daddy's flying the plane." That's the Christian life. Okay? The turbulence is real. The storms are real. But our Father is still flying the plane. Yeah, things are going to get shook up. Instead of worrying, instead of gripping the armrest, we just need to color our pictures. Our dad's flying this plane. Next thing you need to do is seek the kingdom first. Look at verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, there's a couple of steps in there, isn't there? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Notice he doesn't tell us just to stop worrying. He gives us something better to focus on. What are you focused on? He said, don't get caught up with the worry. Focus on the kingdom of God. That's where your help comes from. But to blow your mind, you ready for this? You cannot simultaneously focus on God's greatness and your worry's greatness. You ever wonder why lion tamers take a stool into the lion? I mean, if I'm going to face a lion, maybe a submachine gun would help, but a three-legged stool just seems like a... I mean, what are you going to sit down when you're tired in there? No, there's a lion in here with you. Do you know why there's a three-legged stool? Because the way a lion attacks, if you hold the three-legged stool up, it confuses him. Because he sees each one of those legs as a target. And he can't draw on one target. Now, how they figure this, I don't know. Well, let's take a one-legged. No, that didn't. He got killed. That won't work. A two-legged. No, that's not enough. Seven legs. Well, that's too many. It's too heavy. No. I don't know how they could figure this out. If you're looking at all of those different targets in your life, you're like the lion. You're confused. You don't know where to go. But if you look at Christ above all else, focus on God above everything else. Now you got tunnel vision. Now you're locked in. See, the more you focus on Christ, the smaller your worries become. And the smaller, the more you focus on your worries, the smaller God appears. The object of your focus determines the level of your peace. What are you focused on this morning? The fact that you have a dumb flower thing around your neck? Don't blame that on Jeremiah. That was my idea. I'll take the blame for that. The object of your focus determines the level of your peace. If you're focused on all your worries, all your stuff, you never get ahead. Barry Sanders, the great running back for the lions. They ask him, don't you see all the big linemen and stuff in front of you? He said, no, I'm looking for the green space in front of me because that's where I want to be. I'm not focused on all these big steroid-induced behemoths that are trying to kill me. I'm looking for the green grass ahead of me. When Peter walked on water, he was fine while he looked at Jesus. The moment he focused on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. And I love that because he began to sink. I've tried walking on pool water. You don't begin to sink, you just sink. Little tip for your Uncle Jer. Nothing changed about that storm. It was just as boisterous when he started as when he started to sink. Only his focus changed. He stopped looking at the wind and the rain. He stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at the wind and the rain. What are you focused on this morning? Maybe you're here today and you spent all week looking at the waves. Looking at the storm, the bills, the diagnosis, the family problem, the uncertainty. All Jesus is telling you this morning is, look at me. Look at me. Not because the waves aren't real, but because he is greater than the waves. Wow. I got news for you. All the problems you walked in here with this morning, all the concerns, all the worries, all the cares, they're real. But God is greater than all your worries. He's greater than all your problems. When my kids were young, summer vacations always meant driving. We used to go to a place in up by Lake Arrowhead we loved. And as soon as we pulled out of the parking lot of the house, or the driveway of the house, you know the question they ask, right? Are we there yet? You can still see the house. We got a four-hour drive ahead of us. You could still see that. You could still throw a treat to the dog. And about 15 minutes later, are we there yet? We're still in the desert. We're going to the mountains. Here's the thing. When your ears start to pop, you'll know we're getting close. The journey felt endless. But we focused on the destination. The miles became easier. We would try to divert them. What do you want to do first? You want to go down to Lake Arrowhead or you want to walk? Because this place is beautiful. It's called Pine Rose Cabins in Blue Jay. Beautiful place. And they had like little creeks. They had koi fish and stuff in them and water, little water wheels and stuff. And we would just, yeah. So we started talking about, what do you want to do when you get there? You want to go in the pool when we get there? Do you want to go down to Lake Arrowhead and bowl? What do you want to do? And for some reason, that kind of took our minds off of everything else because we were focused on the destination. Christ reminds us that our destination is secure. This world is not home. Larry Norman wrote an album years and years and years ago called Only Visiting This Planet. One of the songs says, don't mind me. This is not my home. I'm only visiting this planet. See, we're headed somewhere better. And knowing where we're going changes how we travel. I don't have to travel wondering if we're there yet. I just have to travel knowing that my destination is secure and it's going to be awesome. What do you do first? I don't know, man. I don't know. When I get to heaven, what am I going to do? I don't know, man. I mean, have you ever think about that? What are you going to do when you get to heaven? You know, walk around the streets of gold? Like, okay. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look for my grandpa. My Uncle Bill. The two pastors who shaped my life. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find my grandma. my best girl? Am I going to let her give me grief about not being able to fix the iron? She had me try to fix it. I was in college. I was on the weekend. She tried to have me fix an iron, but I told her, Grandma, they can't fix this iron. It's got a brain. She delighted in telling everybody that I couldn't fix the iron because it was smarter than I had. It had a brain, and I didn't. We need to live one day at a time. Verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Well, there's a happy thought. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, this is practical wisdom. Think about it. Live today. First of all, you may not be here tomorrow. And I don't mean here at church. I mean here. This mortal coil. You may have joined the choir invisible. You may be in heaven. Hopefully that's the way you go. Worry drags tomorrow's burden into today's strength. God said, I'll give you enough strength for today. I'll give you grace for today. If you're trying to spend today's grace on tomorrow's burden, you're going to run out of grace. God gives grace daily, not yearly, not monthly, daily. The Israelites gathered manna one day at a time. Not a month's supply, except on the weekends, on the Sabbath when they're allowed to gather enough for the next day. You know what happens? Well, you know what happened? Think back. Remember when the Israelites were out in the desert on the run from Egypt and they're trying to find the promised land, God gave them manna. It was just bread from heaven. And so people being people, because we're not real smart sometimes, God said, only take enough for today. And you know there are people, because the Bible says it, but you know, even though, if you know people, you know, there's people thought, you know what? I'm going to get a bunch. I'm going to fill my basket. Then if for some reason it doesn't happen tomorrow, I'm already stocked up. Right? That's the way we think, isn't it? You know what happened to the extra manna? It spoiled. And smelled nasty. They had to throw it away. Just gather enough manna for today. God was teaching them dependence. Now, when we raise kids, we teach them independence. Because I don't know about you, but if my kid's 15 and still comes to me and says, Dad, will you tie my shoes? I'm going to think there may be a problem here. Just saying, could be an issue. God's saying, I want you to depend on me. I'm your father. I'm the giver of all good things. Depend on me. That's why I'm here. He's teaching us the same lesson. Many of us are exhausted because we tried to carry things God hasn't even asked us to carry yet. We're fighting battles that haven't happened, solving problems that don't exist, preparing for disasters that may never come. Does this ring true with anybody? I know I've done it. Well, what if I'll give you a great personal example from just yesterday. Friday. I put a dash cam in my car, but it never turns off. It's always on the battery of the car. Honest to goodness, like 2 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, I woke up and my first thought was, what if that runs the car battery down and I can't go to work? I can't go to church on Sunday. Okay, I almost got dressed and went outside and unplugged the dash cam. Then I thought, no, I got a jump box. If it runs down the battery, I'll jump the car and I'll drive. Isn't it weird how we find something to worry about? Jesus says, look, today's assignment is enough. Trust me with tomorrow. I read about a man who was carrying an enormous backpack while riding on a bus. The driver noticed him standing there struggling under the weight. Finally, the driver said, sir, why don't you put your backpack down? The man replied, oh, no, I couldn't do that. The bus is already carrying me. I don't want it to carry my backpack, too. These people are allowed to vote. That wasn't nice. Now, we laugh about it because you think, well, that's stupid. No, some of you didn't say stupid. Some of you said, well, yes, Jerry, that's not very intelligent of the man, is it? I said it was stupid. We do the same thing. Hello? We carry this backpack of worry. We're so stressed. And God comes and says, hey, I'll take that backpack from you. We say, no, God, you're already doing enough for me. I don't need you to carry this too. Jesus has already promised to carry us, but we insist on carrying our worries ourselves. And the burden is crushing us. The anxiety is exhausting us. The fear is overwhelming us. And all the while, Jesus says, put it down. Give it to me. Trust me. This summer, we're taking vacations. Every week's going to be a vacation from something. Today, we're taking a vacation from worry. Not because every problem is solved. Not because life suddenly becomes easy. But because our Heavenly Father is faithful. He's faithful. Some of you right now are carrying burdens that nobody else knows about. Financial worries. Family worries. Health worries. Worries about the future. You haven't slept well in weeks. You smiled on the outside while chewing yourself up with worry on the inside. Today, Christ is offering you an invitation. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. No more stress, not more pressure, rest. Can you imagine sitting in your chair at home, all these worries going on around you, and the devil is just kicking you all around the house with them, and you sit down, you take a deep breath, and you sigh, and you say, God's got this. What? Me worry? God's got this. God's in control. I've told you before. Either God's in control and everything's going to be fine, or God's not in control and we're all toast. I believe God's in control. Maybe today is the day you finally put the suitcase down. Maybe today is the day you stop caring tomorrow and start trusting God with. Maybe today is the day begin your vacation from worry. And there's only one way to do it. Stand with me if you would. It's so easy for us to worry. So easy for us to get caught up in forget who God is. My goal today is to remind you, who's God? Is God in control? You got to settle that right now. In theology, they talk about the a priori assumption, the beginning assumption. What's the a priori assumption for Christianity? Is that God exists. And if he exists, then he must have left a way for us to communicate with him. That's prayer. That's reading the Bible. When we read the Bible, we see God is greater. God is able. I know you walked in here with worries today. Some of you were so worried. You have no idea how to get ahead. And every day is just a struggle. I have walked that. I spent months in a fog trying to figure out what my life was going to be after a huge change. I spent months just doubting me, doubting God, doubting everything. Wasn't sure where I was going to go next, what was going to happen. And one day I read these verses. God said, you know, Jerry, you're worrying about stuff that you don't have to worry about. I got this. I got this. If you are overwhelmed with stuff today, God's got this. Let's pray. And as we pray, I want you to take that worry, those worries, to God and say, okay, God, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. I think God responds to that. God listens to us. God, you say for me to trust you. I'm going to trust you. That means this is all on you now. This is all up to you. Do you trust him enough to do that? Father, there are people in this room, people that are watching, listening, that are burdened. They're not sure how they're going to live the rest of the day, let alone the rest of the week. But God, you are offering us a vacation from that worry. God, I pray that today is the day we give that suitcase of worry, that big bundle of worry, and we give it to you. We say, okay, Father, I'm going to trust you. This is yours. I'm going to quit worrying about it. My worry isn't fixing it. So God, I give it to you. If that's you right now, just say him. Just tell him that. God, here it is. You want it? You got it. Come on. And I know you're thinking, well, Jerry, you don't know how bad my problems are. I don't, and I don't care. Because I know God is greater. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I do know that God is greater. Father, I pray you come in like a flood. As we put our faith in you, we feel something we haven't felt in a long time, and that's peace. Lord, that as we give our lives to you, as we give our worries and our burdens to you, you come in like a flood and cover us with your peace and your healing. God, thank you so much. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for that, God. Now, just tell God thanks. Come on. God, thanks. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for taking my burdens from me. Come on, say it. Don't hold back now. Right near the finish line, don't give up. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. God, work in our lives this week. Thanks, Father. Thanks. Amen. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The devil isn't going to let this go. These worries are going to come at you like, blah, 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 blah. Okay? In those moments, that's when you have to, I mean verbally say it. Nope. I've given that to God. This is not my problem anymore. Don't let the devil take what God's put in your heart this morning. Just tell him, you know what? You're a liar and your breath stinks. I like talking to the devil that way. And you know what? God's got this. Amen? Love you guys. I'm looking for a good week for you that maybe you haven't had in a while. Get your rest in Christ this week. Love you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.